Welcome to Real Medicine, Real Lives. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombel, and together we're showing medical expertise in a human way. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Medicine, Real Lives. I'm your host, Dr. Yasser Sombel, and today we're going to talk about holistic medicine. Many people don't feel well, but they can't explain why. Tests come back normal, yet something still feels off. Today on Real Medicine, Real Lives, we're talking about what the body is really trying to say, how detox actually works, and why treating the whole person matters more than ever. Today we have a special guest, a pioneer in the natural food industry and nutritional counselor and teacher of naturopathic programs. Dr. Michael Schwartz created the synergistically complete and regular concept that has become an industry standard. The author of The Universal Teachings, The Art of Mental Healing, and his newest book, Health and Disease, Symbology Handbook, A Mind-Body Perspective, Michael is an illuminating and inspiring speaker. Welcome, Dr. Schwartz. Thanks for coming on our show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sombel. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So let's get started. So, we're going to talk about how to validate patients who feel unheard and reframe symptoms such as meaningful communication from the body. So why do so many people feel sick even when tests don't show a clear disease?
Well, it's really interesting because when you take into consideration that the human mind controls the brain and the brain carries out or controls the body and the brain carries out the directives of the mind. So sometimes when a person doesn't feel well, when they come to me with a, I feel out of sorts, my first question is, when did it begin? And in what way do you feel out of sorts? So sometimes somebody will bring up, well, my stomach bothers me. And from that point of view, then I begin to question, well, when did that start? Was it something someone said to you? Because from a holistic point of view, we have to bring in the emotions as well as the physiological aspects. So I question, what were you going through? What did you see? What did you hear? And what do you feel? Maybe somebody's trying to impose a thought upon you. And it's those kind of considerations that will help me build what I need to do in terms of guiding them, helping them. And sometimes I'll say, really think about it. What part of your body beyond your stomach also bothers you? And that too gives a deeper insight to what's going on emotionally.
Gotcha. And so when people say, it feels like my body's broken, how do you help them, see their symptoms differently?
Well, in the sense that on one level, I would say to them, first, what do you mean by broken? And what part of you do you feel is broken? Because that, again, gives me an area to look at from a different point of view. I feel that the body is, from a different point of view, an orchestra. Mm-hmm. And every system, gland, organ function is an instrument. And so when there's something out of whack, something is out of tune, then it's telling you that, hey, you need to pay attention here, you need to address this. And so then from that point of view, I think in terms of specific vitamins, minerals, to nourish the body back to balance and harmony. And that's what is the old true naturopathic approach to healing.
And so how does the body use these kind of symptoms to communicate something that's out of balance?
Well, that's really a great question. When you look at things from an energetic point of view, because everything is made from atoms, right? Mm-hmm. So atoms make molecules, molecules make us. I jumped a lot of steps. And so from that point of view, when there's a disharmony in the body, it's your mind's way of telling you there is something out of whack. A particular pattern of behavior as is operating. And if you don't understand what it is, well, then it will continue to get worse to really draw your attention into dealing with it from a different point of view. So diseases and symptoms, they're not your fault so much as your body's way of trying to tell you, take a look at this, deal with it, try to understand it, again, either from a instrument point of view or an energy point of view, because everything begins with thought. Thought precedes creation, and same thing with our body. And so you need to look at what is the root cause. I'm very root cause oriented from that perspective.
So give us an example of a scenario that you've encountered where people may have not have thought that holistic medicine may have been appropriate in the situation or how they could have looked at it differently.
Well, I think the orientation, first and foremost, is really from a medical perspective, because that's how people have been trained and indoctrinated. And for me to broach it with them from an emotional point of view, well, there's either one of two reactions. no, that's hokey pokey. I don't want to, you know, no, you're wrong. And I've had a lot of that. And or those, well, you know, maybe, because depending, again, my terminology, and I try to break things down into simple language so it's not very complicated, and demonstrate that, you know, you don't think about walking and breathing or even talking. You don't say mentally, oh, I'm going to talk. You just do it. In the same regard, when there's a dysfunction, your body talks to you by creating a symptom, and it begins with inflammation. The first thing the inflammation does is it's saying to you, hey, take a look at this area of your body. There's an issue going on. And so now we have to trace back what is the thought, which is why I brought up about the stomach. Because for me, when someone tells me they have a stomach issue, it's a matter of there's something upsetting them, something they can't digest that's been presented to them, or they feel imposed upon, or they're trying to avoid something as that happens.
And how do you balance that, for example, with you know, what I do, for example? I'm a physician, and so how do you find that balance between making patients take this kind of approach versus taking, you know, a different approach, like from somebody like me?
Well, I think both are essential, and I think they can complement each other, and they should, because your expertise is in a different realm, and your approach and understandings and training are at a different level than any naturopath. So I think that the two can work in harmony, because what a good naturopath will do is work with someone to nourish the body back to balance and harmony, as opposed to treating the body. That's your domain. And being a cardiologist, you know, it's very specific. So your training is it's a different approach with a different understanding. And that's why I think that they can be complementary.
Mm-hmm. And so how do people, for example, use these body symptoms to communicate that something is out of balance?
Well, that comes down to understanding it from an energetic point of view, because every part of your body has what I call, my terminology is, a symbolic significance. You know, it almost goes back to the two parts in the Bible. In the Old Testament, where God says, I created, and in the New Testament, where John says, everything begins with the Word, and the Word's with God. So we are divine spiritual beings. So whenever there is something out of balance, it's your mind saying you need to look at the root. You need to see the thought behind the creation or the problem. Every disease has a root in emotional conflict. And I don't care what the disease is, there is an emotional component that if not understood and not worked with, then the disease continues. Mm-hmm. But if it is understood, now you're bringing in the power of the divine to help facilitate the cure, so to speak.
And yeah. So how do people start tracking these symptoms in a way that actually helps a doctor see the full picture?
From the, I would say create a symbol book, kind of, or write it down, keep a journal. You know, today I woke up and my back hurt me. Today at the, you know, I was walking around and my legs were bothering me and it was more difficulty in my back. So the more that you can track what you're going through and experiencing and sharing that with your physician, that really helps the communication and helps the doctor understand what's really going on and can address it from there.
And what do you hope, you know, you can offer someone who feels dismissed or confused or discouraged about their health?
Think in terms of change, okay? Because, you know, there's two cliches that I live by, kind of. One is you are what you think and you are what you eat. So if you're not feeling 100% on any level, examine your diet first and foremost. Because what you bring in, you know, consider your body as a divine creation. And if you're feeding it junk, guess what? It's like with a computer, garbage in, garbage out. So you create illness based on diet. So I always recommend clean up the diet, eat as much living foods, organically grown, as is possible, because now you're bringing in living energy into the body, not something that's dead, that your body has to work twice as hard. And if it has toxins in it, well, that begins to corrupt the cells, and that speeds up aging and lays the foundation for disease.
So Can you give us an idea of, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people take vitamins and all sorts of stuff. And so can you give us an idea of how these things interact with people as far as, you know, what's the benefit, for example? I have a lot of patients, for example, ask me about coenzyme Q, right?
Good for the heart.
You know, because they take statin drugs, et cetera. Right. So maybe you can help us understand, and even me actually enlighten me on what is the mechanism, or how does something, for example, like coenzyme Q10 help people in that situation?
Well, it's really interesting because the body makes it, but unfortunately, if all the building components are not there, then you must bring in the outside components. And so CoQ10 really helps the cells strengthen the cells so that everything works in harmony and it strengthens the heart. So that's the easy part. But when you talk about, you know, cardiovascular disease and either hypertension or cholesterol issues, well, you know, I know the statin drugs are great because they block, you know, the liver from the LDL. Well, they don't block it completely because you need LDL and HDL. But what the body can do and what the body does is it utilizes choline, inositol, methionine, which is an amino acid, and lecithin, which it will create. And that emulsifies the cholesterol to help keep it at a natural level. Because you need cholesterol, it's integral to the development of your cells. So there's that. When it comes to hypertension, this is a matter of stress. And what I tell my clients is that, you know, stress is the result of how you are responding to what you see and hear. So it's an emotional response. But what that does is multiple things. One, it compromises your calcium and magnesium, as well as zinc. And I consider the minerals as light switches. Mm-hmm. I love analogies. It helps me. And so, because I'm a very visual person. So with light switches, you know, it's like in the winter, you go home, the house is dark, you flick on the switch, the bulbs illuminate. Well, the way blood pressure is regulated is what they call a negative feedback system. So if the light switches aren't there, if the minerals aren't there, you know, the mind gets the message or the brain gets the message, hey, elevation, the blood pressure is going up, we have to lower it. So it'll send electrical impulses down to tell the muscles to relax, the heart to slow down. The catch 22 is the cells in the heart do not get the message because there's not enough light switches available. Mm-hmm. So by bringing in minerals, you help facilitate the proper regulation of blood pressure.
Gotcha. Well, that was very interesting. So we're gonna when we come back, we're gonna tackle one of the most important misunderstood topics in health today, and that's detox and separate facts from fiction. So hang out with us, everybody. We'll be back with Dr. Schwartz to talk some more about this. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more real stories, real breakthroughs, and real lives transformed. And we're back. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. Let's dive right back into today's medical conversation. Welcome back, everybody. This is Real Medicine, Real Lives, and I'm your host, Dr. Yasser Sombol, and we're here today with Dr. Schwartz talking about holistic medicine. Today, in this segment, we're going to approach detox. Detox is a word people hear everywhere. What detox actually means inside the human body is a different question. So, Dr. Schwartz, welcome back, and thank you for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure,
so,
truly.
So, approaching that, so what does detox actually mean inside the human body?
Well, actually, it's a process that's already ongoing because of all of the transactions in the body. There are metabolic waste, not to mention cells are being replaced. So a certain amount of cells, I think something like 60 billion, are dying on a daily day and being replaced. So you have, you know, I use the analogy, every cell eats, breathes, drinks, and sheds waste. Mm-hmm. and it puts it back into the bloodstream. And or through bile, it ends up will be through the intestinal tract. So you have to get this debris out of the body or you become intoxicated. Your body becomes corrupted. And once again, we're back to the corruption speeds up the aging and lays the foundation for disease. So detoxing and cleansing is essential. And think of detoxing as a biochemical transaction. And again, here's where minerals come into play. Manganese, molybdenum, zinc, chromium, these are essential, or iron, these are essential for the detoxification process to work properly.
Gotcha. And so People, you know, they like to do these extreme cleanses, these extreme detoxes, these fad diets. So tell us and tell the viewers, how does that actually cause more harm than it does good?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And there's a universal teaching, and these teachings apply to everybody. It doesn't matter what you believe in, because these are the laws of life. And the teaching is excess leads to rejection. So when you do something that is too intense, now you're doing damage to the body. You know, it's like doing a water fast as a cleanse, and because I've done them. And there's a couple out there. One's called the Master Cleanse, which actually uses lemon, cayenne, and maple syrup along with water. In my youth, when I was really crazy and a fanatic, I did pure water. Well, pure water is wonderful, but what happens with people is by the third day, they feel and smell like death warmed over. And there's a reason for that. And then the harm comes in later if they continue it too long. And that's where the harm comes in. Because you're during a fast, the first day, you use all of the sugar in your bloodstream. The second day, you go through the muscles and what's stored in the liver. The third day, now you're using the fat as fuel. And in that situation, you're re-releasing toxins back into the bloodstream. So that's why people feel bad on the third day. And sometimes, you know, the most you should ever do is about a week, but some people get crazy with it and they'll go beyond the week, and then you start tearing into muscles as using that for fuel, and that's really where the danger begins. Plus, sometimes too much is released at once, and that too can create an imbalance in the body and really make people sick.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up and talked about it, because I have a lot of people that, you know, will talk to me about what they should eat, or they'll come after they've had a heart attack or something. They say, you know, I no longer eat this and I don't eat that and I only eat salad and I'm like, if you do that for a long period of time, there's no way you're going to maintain that. So, I mean, I think people don't realize that the body does need, you know, whether it's fats, carbs, et cetera. All these fat things really don't last very long. So I'm glad you brought that up and talked about it in your own experience.
Yeah, because I've been everything. I've been a fruitarian. I've been a vegan. I've been a vegetarian. These days, I'm a pescatarian. And so my protein source is seafood. And as a vegetarian, I'll go first to the fruitarian. It's too much sugar. Yes, you get an up from fruit and you have that, but it's unsustainable. It really is, and you can't work and function. Same thing with being a vegan to some degree. There are limits as to what your body can handle. You know, one of the things that works against all of us is stress. And again, stress is a mental, emotional thing. But it also taxes the adrenal glands, which monitors the sugar in the bloodstream. So when people are fatigued, you know, it could be, even though they think they're eating the best diet, they really may not be, and they may be doing really more damage than having a moderate approach to, and again, it goes back to excess leads to rejection, everything in moderation. So taking a moderate approach to everything is the healthiest thing you can do. And eat living food, organically grown.
And so what signs is that somebody's detox pathways might be a little bit overloaded?
The first thing jumps into my mind is jaundice. Now the liver is congested. You know, between the American diet, trans fats, saturated fats, hydrogenated fats, and alcohol, all of that gums up the liver. And when that does that, the liver cannot detoxify the garbage that's in the bloodstream. And then that, again, works against the body. Another thing would be acne, because your skin, you know, people don't think about this, but your skin is both an eliminative organ, and I also call it a consuming organ, because whatever you apply to your skin ends up transdermally in the bloodstream. So if you're dealing with acne, and yes, there is a hormonal issue there as well, but more often than not, it's because you're sloughing off some of the garbage, and the bacteria that lives on the skin is creating the pustulence and all of that good stuff that's not good. So those are two immediate signs.
And so what are some of like a gentle, realistic detox that someone can probably start today?
I would say first and foremost, more fiber in the diet. Because, you know, it's really interesting, Dr. Yasobo. Some people think that if they go to the bathroom twice or even three times a week, that they're having a normal bowel movement. And no, they're not. You should have a bowel movement at least once a day, if not twice. And so when fecal matter sits in the colon, then the liquid is being reabsorbed. So by bringing in more fiber, because the fiber absorbs the water, that pushes against the colon wall. And like blood pressure, it's a negative feedback system. So now your brain knows, okay, we have to evacuate. And by, you know, speeding up that process of living food, high in fiber, lots of water, that is the best thing you can start with as a foundational program.
And so what are simple lifestyle choices somebody can do to safely detox without any gimmicks or fear?
Fear is a real mind killer on a lot of different levels. I think, again, we'll go back to the diet is really the simplest thing. You know, I say it's the simplest thing, but in truth, it's not. Because what people don't realize is that they are emotionally attached to the food that's on their plate. And we all know the expression comfort food. So what I tell people about comfort food, look at what it is and see if you can't replace it with an organic substitute. So you still get the emotional benefit, but now you've incorporated a health aspect, which is more in keeping with what the body requires. So you're addressing the emotional and the physical.
Gotcha. And can you give us an example of, you know, a detox plan somebody could do if they're, depending on what goal they're trying to accomplish? Pick any goal that you would plan for somebody for a detox plan and how they would do that.
Well, because I'm so oriented to my own products, I go there, obviously.
Sure.
And I do have a program. It's a four-stage program because you just can't do one aspect. So what I do with my product, which is called Ultimate Detox and Cleanse, and when I train on it, I tell people detoxification is a biochemical transaction. Cleansing is a muscular transaction. But people don't think about that in those terms. So we go after the first thing is really, again, we're back to the diet. You need to clean out the entire intestinal tract. That's why fiber is so vital. And I also include garlic, because garlic is a great antibacterial. And also, I make a joke and I say, if you eat enough garlic, it'll permeate your skin. No one will get near you. You won't get sick. So there's a benefit to the garlic. Next up, we go after the blood. And going after the bloodstream, again, we're back to you already have an ongoing detoxification process going. As long as you're bringing in all the minerals, it'll operate at optimal levels. And I also use herbs like burdock root, yellow dock, burdock root, red clover. All of those are blood detoxifiers. Then we have to go to the liver. And so here, because of all the congestion, we use choline, inositol, lecithin. Those will help break up the fatty deposits in the liver, so it will operate at optimal levels. I also put in some milk thistle, which stimulates new cellular growth in the liver. And last but not least, because of the way the body works, I use what I call our fat metabolizing formula to go after the storage depots. Because what your liver does immediately is it tries to render harmless the liquids, gas, and solids so that you can get them out of your body and they don't do any harm. What can't be immediately gotten rid of is stored in the fat. And I have a whole theory about the American diet because the body is trying to protect us from all the toxins in the food. And that may be one of the things that leads to some of the obesity problems we have in the country. So it's a four-phase kind of a program that people need to work on.
Yeah, obesity is definitely a problem in our country, probably around the world, but more here.
And yeah.
It doesn't help with all the DoorDash going around.
So. No, it doesn't.
All right.
Makes it too easy.
Well, thank you. That was really, really enlightening. So up next, we're going to take a little break, but we're going to zoom out and talk about what really happens to treat the whole person, not just a diagnosis. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more real stories, real breakthroughs, and real lives transformed. And we're back. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. Let's dive right back into today's medical conversation. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Real Medicine, Real Lives. I'm your host, Dr. Yasser Sombol, and we're here today with Dr. Schwartz. We're going to keep talking about this holistic medicine and this approach. And in this segment, we kind of want to take the core philosophy and show how we can bridge conventional and integrative care. So, Dr. Schwartz, welcome back, and thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So,
thank you.
So, what does whole person medicine actually look like in your practice?
Well, the first thing is people need to understand, and it goes back to something I said earlier, that the mind actually controls the brain. The brain, in turn, controls the body. And the brain will also respond to the directives of the mind. This is why prayer is essential, programming is essential. You can also look at the mind as a biocomputer. And right now, all of us are running on programs that were instilled by our parents, our culture, our tradition. So the first, and each one of the concepts that we maintain that have created our belief system has created patterns of behavior that we live out. And every pattern of behavior, and there's something like 30 of them that I've identified, has an expectation at the end. And the expectation validates the concept in the subconscious mind as being true, even when it's detrimental to your welfare. An example might be a child who was raised with, you're always messy, you talk too much, you're always disruptive. Well, they may, my parents love me, they wouldn't tell me anything that's bad, right? So they may end up being disruptive and messy and, aggravating to everybody because that's their modus operandi. So when I work with clients, I try to get a feel first and foremost as to what kind of modus operandi they're working with. And fundamentally, from my perspectives, there's only two. Either you're seeking approval or you're seeking rejection. And everybody deals with that. So you the girls are like mom or they're the opposite. The boys are like dad or they're the opposite. So that gives me a handle and I ask, who are you emulating? You emulating mom or dad? What's the story? And then that sometimes they will have almost an immediate epiphany. It's like an OMG, oh my God. And they get it. And that immediately lowers all resistance to whatever we're going to encroach upon in terms of trying to understand what emotional conflict is the root cause of whatever their condition is.
Gotcha. And so what are some physical symptoms that are inseparable from emotional health, like stress and lifestyle?
Oh, they're not separate. They're interwoven because when you think about stress, what stress does, first off, we'll go back to what I said originally, that it's the result of conflict at an emotional level. It's based on doubt and fear. If you don't think you can handle something with power and quiet strength, what I call quiet strength and personal power, then there's an element of doubt. If there's an element of doubt, then you're unsure of self. When you're unsure of self, you're drawing on doubt, not courage and confidence. Another thing that takes place in situations is that your mind looks back to the past to see how you handled a similar situation. And it draws on that to bring it into the here and now. That's why, there's a teaching, having eyes to see, ears to hear, is so vital so you can see the root cause that's there. So wherever a symptom will go there as opposed to a disease, wherever there's a symptom like a sore throat, kids come home from school and, school begins, the year begins, and the kids come home, half the class is sick. Why half and not everybody? Because some of the kids are coming there with courage and confidence. The other kids are unsure. They also may have a lousy diet, which contributes. And the other aspect of that is from an emotional point of view, maybe the child does not feel it has the wherewithal or the authority to voice itself, express itself. That could create a sore throat. And or they feel imposed upon at school. Maybe there's a bully and they can't speak up against that. That too could create a sore throat or laryngitis where they can't express themselves as examples.
And so where does modern medicine, for example, fail short when it becomes, when this kind of care becomes fragmented?
I think that the physicians are trained in such a particular way that they're not taught the not only emotional aspects of it or the nutritional aspects of the body, so that the body is looked at from a chemical point of view in terms of either suppressing something and allowing the body to work or actually facilitating a transaction. And I think there's a breakdown, and I think modern medicine needs to realize that the human body is more complex than what's being taught. They need to look at the emotional component and the nutritional component, because it does go back to, we're reflecting what we eat. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that.
That's true. And so what would be your recommendation or advice to people on how they can kind of coordinate that rather than become fragmented between modern medicine and holistic medicine to make it more complete for people?
Great question. Hard question, too. I think that it's a slow attitudinal change, one by beginning to examine your diet, because that's the builder of your body. So look at your habits. And you know what's interesting is that with your mind, you can rationalize and justify and come up with a logical reason why you can't do this, that, or the other. When it comes to diet, well, I don't have time. I have to eat a fast meal. And so my question, or what I say to my clients sometimes, is, look, you have a choice. You can either put the money into your mouth and buy good, healthy food, or you can give it to the pharmaceutical industry, to the doctor, and end up in a hospital and spend your money there. It's really a matter of choice. You do have free will. You can get beyond your emotions and make good choices that will actually help your physician help heal you faster. And actually, the truth of the matter is, none of us are healers. You're the healer. The body is the divine healer. But both modalities need to work together to nurture your body, to alleviate the discomfort on one level, at the same time, feed the body what it requires to achieve balance and harmony.
Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think, you know, it would be great if a lot of physicians and people who do, you know, holistic medicine and other things coordinated more together to see if there's a way to, you know, when people, I mean, even me as a physician, sometimes I'm stumped. I don't really know what's going on, and I can't really figure it out. And so there may be, you know, other great minds work alike, and, you know, more minds together makes things a lot better. I completely agree. So how can patients help their doctors understand their full story, not just the lab results?
Yeah, by really opening up, and the physician really needs to listen more than ever before, because sometimes we'll say something to somebody and you may see an immediate response, sometimes not. And so now the client is like, you know, protective, defensive. And now they're just waiting for you to shut up so they can, one, tell you how wrong you are, and then maybe even attack, you know, your perspective. Mm-hmm. So I think communication is an art form that the physicians, the medical community, as well as the naturopathic, because I don't know how many true holistic naturopaths there are out there, or how many true holistic medical doctors are out there, because I think it is something that is on the rise, that there really is more of a calling in that area. So I think by creating and keeping open, honest conversation without feeling shameful or embarrassed about whatever your condition is, because it's not a punishment. It's just your mind's way of trying to help you realign what I know to be the four selves within each of us. So health is a matter of realignment.
Okay, great. And then, so how does this approach change the outcome for people over time?
Oh, great question. I think that by minimizing the amount of pharmaceuticals coming into the body, because the pharmaceuticals, the body looks at them as being toxins, because the molecular structure is not something that's harmonious with what the body understands to be beneficial to the body. So there's that. And to slowly nourish yourself. And, you know, you can do organic food. And I think that people believe, and I've run into this at lectures, where people believe that, well, hey, I've got a great diet, I'm eating organically, I'm drinking clean water, and that should be enough. And my feeling is, based on the stresses of today's life, no, it's not enough. So there really needs to be an exerted effort to clean up the diet, open communication, and really question your diet and your thoughts. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? Because it's affecting your mind. And again, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think that's a great, you know, thought, because I think we're all responsible somewhat for our own healthcare. And we live in a society, unfortunately, where I think people think of there's a quick fix or a pill to fix everything. And that just really doesn't exist. I mean, there has to be some sort of initiative on your own. If you want to lose weight or want to do whatever, there has to be some process that you implement yourself other than just a fad or a quick fix for it, because it doesn't maintain.
Yeah.
Dr. Schwartz, if you can please let the viewers know, just in case, you know, where they can reach out to you and talk to you about this kind of stuff if they were ever interested. Give us a little bit about your business. Excuse me.
Okay, well, you can reach me at drmichaels1@outlook.com. So that's my email, so there's one thing. And on my website, michaelshealth.com, I have all kinds of educational literature, so that you can go and read about, one, the products, you can take a look at them, you can learn about the nutrients, you can learn about how to nurture yourself, because the more you know, the more you grow. So there's those kinds of things. And I do write books, you know, reach out to me, I do consultations. My goal, my job as I see it, is to help facilitate your understanding how you can heal yourself. And everything that I offer is guaranteed to give an effect or a result. And it's the result of my years of doing counseling, what I call an eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul level. And I kept notes on everybody. And I said earlier in the interview, before we all got started, that I consider myself to be an insecure facilitator, because I'm not the healer. You are the healer. You just need the right information, the right products, and I guarantee you, you'll get great results.
Great. All right, everybody. In our final segment, we're going to talk about the future and gives us hope that medicine can become more human again. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more real stories, real breakthroughs, and real lives transformed. And we're back. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. Let's dive right back into today's medical conversation. Welcome back, everybody, to Real Medicine, Real Lives. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Real Medicine, Real Lives and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, or unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from your website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business to lifestyle and news and culture and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Dr. Schwartz, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
In this final segment, you know, we're going to kind of give people an idea of how we're going to integrate everything together, try to give them some hope, some partnership, and future healing. So what do you hope patients take away from this conversation today?
That they are inspired to go and try something new in terms of changing their diets, because if you change your diet and you supplement with a correct, if you're dealing with a situation, the correct nutritional program, then you're going to see a result. You know, one of the things that I always end lectures with is I always say, don't believe a word I've said. Put it to the test, and what you learn is two things. Number one, you really can work on improving your health by yourself. All it takes is knowledge. The other is, you'll know that I told you the truth. It's really, for me, it's that simple. So allow the information, instead of, you know, defending yourself, thinking that, you know, you've got it made or that I've got it made. No, all of us are still evolving and growing, and just run with it, go with it.
Great. And so how do you help people, you know, shift their mindset away from frustration to empowerment in their health journey?
Well, I think this comes down to successes. You know, you feel frustrated and you can get resentful and angry as well. And what you need to do at that point is, what is the frustration? Where is the hang up? Where is the block? Where is the distraction, which also takes you away from your goal and staying focused? So again, it comes back down to mindset and diet. You need to commit to yourself. One of the things that I believe in is that you need to become a disciple to yourself. And disciple is a root of discipline. And that's what gaining control over self and your diet and your thinking is all about. Creating a foundational discipline and a routine. You know, if you happen to be a couch potato, then start walking around the block. Time it. Took you 20 minutes to walk around the block today. Tomorrow, do it in 18, then 16, then 15, and then add a block. So step by step, you can't just jump in and I'm going to be healthy in a week. It doesn't work that way. You need to train yourself and you need to do it incrementally, step by step.
And so how do doctors and patients become better partners at healing?
Oh, what a fabulous question. I think that by having that open, honest communication, really spending, for the physicians, it's really difficult because there are so many sick people out there, and there's so few of you guys really having the time to talk. But it really almost needs to be, you know, almost before you walk into the office and see the client, to go over the chart and see where the main issues are and address those immediately and bring up the conversation. Well, have you changed your diet? What are you eating? You know, how often are you doing garbage food? So I think by forcing the issue, because you guys are the ultimate authority on a lot of levels for people's health. So you almost have to lead them and say, look, you need to do this, you need to do that. And next time you're in here, let's see what kind of progress you made. And keep records. They need to keep records. They need to tell you what's going on, what they've seen as a benefit from what not only you've told them, but what efforts they themselves have put into their own well-being.
And how do you, I think a lot of that comes down to accountability on both ends, correct?
Yes.
So how do you, as a practitioner, try to hold your patients accountable for what you're advising them to do? And maybe get them to follow through on it.
Yeah, actually I have two things. I have what I call a final exam and a self-assessment kind of a program that I tell them to fill out. That helps me understand whether or not they're really making the effort and what they've learned. Because it, you know, having knowledge is wonderful. But if there's no true understanding and no application, it's just intellectual baba. There's no growth. There's no change. You must apply what you know, and you need to understand it. You need to understand your patterns. You need to understand the expectations, and then you need to apply and make the effort to change and grow and evolve.
Okay, great. And I think that's really good advice to people. And so what gives you hope about the future of medicine becoming more personal and compassionate?
I think that's going to have to start at the college level in the educational. I think there should be a course on the emotional aspects of diseases and conditions, because I do believe, and I said this earlier to you off camera, that I believe that all doctors and nurses are drawn to the profession from a spiritual perspective. They want to help, they want to be of service, they want to do what's right and what's good. What happens is that in training, your minds get adjusted a little bit and the perception is altered to a degree. So I think that as education at the college level and medical schools is brought into more harmony with the body and the emotions, I think that will change medicine coming into the future. Naturopathy is still in its infancy. When I started my company 40 years ago, there was only two schools. Now there's seven. So it is a growing modality that should eventually be in link and harmony with the medical profession, so that we're not competing against each other, but we're both coming at the same conclusion, which is helping, or the same motivation, helping our patients really achieve excellent health.
So take me through, you know, I don't really understand this, I'm sure a lot of people don't. Take us through the course of how do you get to where you're at to do this kind of work. You know, I mean, people know we go to medical school, we go to training, and then we, you know, we become doctors, et cetera. But I actually have no idea. And I think that would be really important to the viewers to kind of understand How do you get to where you're at today in this type of medicine?
Well, first, you need to have, you know, the basic foundational education. There's a couple of great schools here in the country. The oldest is the Naturopathic College out of Oregon, and then there's the Bastyr College up in Washington. And all you need is a bachelor's degree from a regular university. That will get you in, and then you can build from there. And there will be courses on herbs and their benefits, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and how and foods. So you get a very well-rounded foundational education. But to get to where I am, you need to read more. You need to work with people. And by gathering knowledge and experience, it helps you grow. So I've read everything, and you notice I interwove universal teachings because I read the Bible and I seek to understand the words differently. I've read psychology books. I've read, you know, you read. You need to read. You never stop learning. Life is a learning process. Life is a cleansing process. You need to detox and cleanse all of the programming that man has put into your head and start looking at it from a divine point of view and start bringing spiritual consciousness to a higher level. And I'm not talking religion. I'm talking spirituality. There's a difference.
And how long is that? How long is the education for that? For example, you know, medical school is a 4-year program. How long is an education for this type of field?
It depends on the curriculum. It can be 2 or 3 years because it's not as foundational, I'll say, as is medicine. Mm-hmm. So there's not all that intricate learning, so to speak. So it's relatively not easy, but it can get you out into the world quicker.
Okay. Okay. And when you're done, is there mentorship? Is there training that you follow with somebody afterwards? Or do you just kind of get your degree and you're off on your own and do whatever you want to do?
A little bit of both. I worked with one of my professors was my mentor for 15 years after school. And Dr. Rothschild, Peter was just, he was my mentor. And he was really interesting because he had a master's in quantum physics. He read and wrote 6 or 7 languages. He was a medical doctor. He's a professor of immunology in Mexico City University. So he was my guide. We were friends and worked together for close to 15 years before he passed. So I think if you have a mentor, it really can expedite your growing because then you have conversations where you even challenge each other. And when there's a challenge, that will stimulate investigation. And one of the greatest words in the English language is why. You know, right. Why? Why do I feel this way? Why do I think this way? Why do I act this way? And, you know, there's a pattern of behavior called a victim. And that is, why did this happen to me? Why does this always happen to me? And so we need to, you know, you need to get into psychology as well and really seek to understand what the laws of life are. Not from man's perspective, but more from a divine perspective.
Yeah, so. That makes perfect sense. One more time, Dr. Schwartz, if you can remind the viewers where they can find you before we close out the show.
Yes, Dr. Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, some people spell it differently, Dr. Michael S1, the number, at outlook.com. So there it is, and hopefully I'll hear from you. Any questions you have? Don't hesitate to reach out. I'm available.
Dr. Schwartz, thank you so much for reminding us that healing begins when we listen to our bodies, our stories, and each other. Yep. This has been incredibly valuable. Thank you again for being here. And I'm your host, Dr. Yasser Sombol. This was Real Medicine, Real Lives, where humanity and medicine meet on Now Media Television.
Thank you for having me as a guest. It's been an honor and a pleasure.